The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Out of this portion of Scripture we read tonight, I would like to choose the verse 12 as a text to base our remarks upon. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. The devil had made an attempt at hindering the onward march of the work of God in Jerusalem following the day of Pentecost. And he who is the personification of cunning craftiness used Ananias and Sapphira in an attempt to destroy the unity and disrupt the growth of the church in Jerusalem. But his attempt failed, as Ananias and Sapphira were exposed for what they were. And God judged them there on the spot. And Ananias had hardly been laid in the grave until his wife Sapphira followed him. And now we see that once the leaven, as it were, was removed, then the work of God flourished. We read there in our text, verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought. This followed the death of Ananias and Sapphira. This followed God's judgment upon Ananias and Sapphira. We studied them last week. We find little or no evidence of grace in their lives. Were they saved? We don't know. Were they truly born again? We don't know. Were they truly Christians? We don't know. But they were certainly judged in a very severe way because of their hypocrisy and deception. But the work went on. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, in verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. And so it could be said that regarding the work of God, in the words that we were singing tonight, then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread we'll push ahead. In whatever form that sea may take, the Lord will roll the sea away. Praise God. No one, no man, no power of hell, no power on earth can stop the onward work, march of the work of God. And here we have proof of it, evidence of it. Notice that a place is mentioned here where this great work was carried on. We're told that it took place in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch was quite a large building, attached, of course, to Solomon's temple. And these signs and wonders were wrought in Solomon's porch. And it was a place of worship. Signs and wonders were wrought in this place of worship here at Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. And when you read there of those words in verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. I don't know about you, but whenever I read those words and have read them and studied them this week, I have said, Lord, let those things happen here. Make this a Solomon's porch. Make this a place where signs and wonders are wrought. by the Holy Spirit of God. Make this a place where many are added to the Lord. Multitudes. And dear Christian, that can happen if only we can get a hold of that, if only we can get a vision of what God is able to do by His Holy Spirit. And we have pointed out in the past, in our study in Acts, that we will only know the Spirit of God moving in our own lives and in our own hearts if we give ourselves to praying to that end. The apostles and the others were in the upper room, 120 of them, praying, waiting upon God when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. And following that great event, the apostles once again gathered together for prayer. And as we have already noted, that when they had prayed, Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, once again, it was as a result of prayer. And as a result of prayer, God did many mighty works, signs and wonders wrought among the people. And believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. I love to see that. I love to see this place of worship. Witnessing the signs and the wonders wrought by God. God the Holy Spirit. And multitudes of believers been added to the Lord. May the Lord give us all a vision that this place of worship will witness many signs and wonders. The Solomon's porch was a place of worship. It was indeed a place of wonders. Speaking with some of my ministerial colleagues of late, we all agree that there is a great spiritual deadness abroad in this day in which we live. Great spiritual deadness. It is so difficult to get people in to hear the gospel. So difficult to get people into the house of God. I was encouraged. I was speaking to one of my brethren from Ulster there and yesterday. One of our churches, Randallstown, is having a tent mission. Put up a tent. It's a gospel mission. And he was telling me that some nights there have been 500 people in to hear the gospel. Praise the Lord. 500 people in this day in which we live of such dearth and darkness and apostasy, that God is still moving here and there and bringing people in to hear the gospel and saving souls. But in the main, there's a great spiritual deadness, and what we need is to see God move. Need to see God the Holy Spirit move as He did in those days in Jerusalem, and move through the apostles, and the place of worship became a place of wonders. I want this place of worship to become a place of wonders in the days to come. But you look again at what happened in Solomon's porch. Not only was it a place of worship, a place of wonders, it was a place of work. There was a work being done. Look there, for it says in verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles. By the hands of the apostles, that indicates that a work was done by the apostles. They give themselves to the work of God. And the Lord was pleased to use their hands. And believer, God the Holy Spirit will work through those who have working hands. Where God's people work, that's where God's Spirit will work also. God never blesses laziness. God exhorted the disciples to pray. Look at the fields. They're white already to harvest. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send forth what? Laborers. Into his harvest field. And where there are laborers in the Lord's work, that's where the Spirit of God will work. The Lord will use laborers. He used the apostles. And here we see the work of God still going forward. And forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. It's Jehovah's will that we go forward. There are times when I felt like giving up. Felt like giving up and just writing out a word of resignation. And just saying, I can't go on. I can't go on any further. There's nothing to be gained in giving up. There's nothing to be gained in going back. So what do you do? Just go forward. And forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. And the work of God went forward here. In the church in Jerusalem. I want you to notice the ministry of the apostles. What a blessing it must be to be used by the Lord in this way. And by the hands of the apostles, by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. The Lord is pleased to use means. There are those times in the past, have been those times in the past, when the Lord worked directly without using means. Without using men or women to carry out his work and his will. And he's pleased to use means, and we ought to thank the Lord for that. He could overlook us, he could pass us by and do the work himself, but he's pleased to use means. And here in Jerusalem, in the great move of the Spirit of God, in the time of great revival, God was pleased to use means, for we read, and by the hands of the apostles. The Lord chose these apostles, chose these men, and the men that he chose, he was going to use them and work through them. You ever feel like praying? You ever feel like coming before God and say, Lord, choose me to work through me. Work through me, Lord. Use my hands. Take my hands and let them be at the impulse, or let them move at the impulse of thy love. Our hands can be used for good or evil. Peter emphasized that in his message on the day of Pentecost. For verse 23 of Acts 2. Peter said, him, that is the Lord Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Then you look at chapter 3 and verse 7 The man by the gate beautiful. Verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand. That was Peter. Peter and John administered to the man at the gate beautiful. And we are told that he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. In the one hand we have wicked hands, and here we have helping hands. Peter gave this man a helping hand, helped to lift him up. May the Lord give us helping hands. We may say at times to our friends, can I give you a hand? Can I give you a hand to carry out what you're doing? In other words, we want to give them a helping hand. In the Lord's work, we need more helping hands. And Peter extended a helping hand to the man at the gate beautiful. May our hands be used by God in this way also. Helping hands, the lifting up of holy hands. I always, the Sabbath morning, in my study, always make a point of reading the Sabbath readings for that particular day. And they're Sabbath readings by Dr. Andrew Bonner. They're excerpts from his sermons and his sayings put together, compiled by his daughter. I love reading those words. And it's amazing the number of times that what I read in Andrew Bonner's words and writings are in agreement with what I'm preaching on that particular day. And here I am tonight speaking about and have studied about the hands of the Lord, the Lord using the hands of the apostles to further his work. And this is what Dr. Bonner said for the reading for this Sabbath day. If you are filled with the Spirit, that's what we're talking about. And Dr. Bonner says, if you are filled with the Spirit, God will use everything about you. The tones of your voice, even the putting out of your hand. He will use everything about you. If you're filled with the Spirit, He'll use everything about you. Even the very tone of your voice. One day, Robert Murray McShane was walking past a blacksmith shop. And he saw the blacksmith hammering away on the anvil. And behind him was the furnace blazing away. And Reverend McShane walked past and looked in and went in and he spoke to the blacksmith. And he pointed to the furnace. He says, what does that remind you of? And he turned round and he walked out. He didn't say anything more. Because the point he was making, does that not remind you of the fires of hell? And by the very tone of his voice, in speaking those words to the blacksmith, that blacksmith sought out McShane after that, and McShane led him to Christ. And what does Dr. Bonner, who was a very dear friend of McShane, what did Dr. Bonner say? If you are filled with the Spirit, God will use everything about you. Even the tone of your voice, even the putting forth of your hand. Oh, to be used that way. To say, Lord, use everything about me. Use my hands, use my feet, use my voice to spread the word and bring honor to thy name. And here we have the apostles, and their hands were used by God. So the Holy Spirit worked through the hands of the apostles, and first of all we are told about the signs. The signs and wonders. Regarding the ministry of the apostles, we are told, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. God the Holy Spirit gave the apostles power to perform great miracles. These signs and wonders were God's way of authenticating their ministry, proving indeed that this was the true gospel and the true Christ that they were preaching, and that he really did rise from the dead. They were preaching the resurrection. Something that the Sadducees hated, a doctrine they hated, and a doctrine and an event that they denied. But the apostles preached, and signs and wonders were wrought. And as we read in Hebrews 2 and verse 4, God also bearing them witness, God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. In Romans 15, Paul again refers to the signs and the wonders, and they were necessary in the early days of the church, as we said, to authenticate the ministry of the apostles. Romans 15 and verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. How did the Gentiles, how were they made to be obedient? As the word was preached by word and deed through mighty signs. There it is. The signs accompanied the preaching of the word. By mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. That's how the apostles, as they ministered in Jerusalem, how by their hands the Lord worked and wrought these signs and wonders. Of course, there was another reason for the signs. Turn to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4 and in verse 48, and Jesus said, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Go on over to chapter 6 and verse 30. Chapter 6 of John and verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? In other words, the Jews would not believe Christ. They would not believe that he was the Messiah. They would not believe that he was the promised Redeemer, except they saw a sign. They were always looking for signs. You see, they were never willing to put their faith in Christ. See, whenever you and I believed the Lord Jesus and received Him as our Savior, we didn't have any sign. We trusted Christ by faith. We didn't need a sign. We received the gift of faith and were enabled by the Holy Spirit to believe in the Lord Jesus without any sign. But the Jews, no, they needed a sign. Now what do we find? That in Jerusalem, as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, worked by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought. In other words, now the Jews were without excuse. Their excuse for believing on the Lord Jesus had been removed. They now had no excuse, because they had seen the signs and the wonders that accompanied the preaching of the word. And what took place then? Verse 14, and believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both men and women. The signs confirmed that their message was true. Confirmed indeed what they said about Christ, that He was the Messiah. Confirmed indeed that He had risen from the dead. It was all true. The signs confirmed that. We long for signs to accompany the preaching of the Word of God here. Believer, let us pray to that end. Pray for the signs and the wonders. We're not talking about any charismatic nonsense. We're not talking about anything that's counterfeit. We're talking about genuine work and move of the Spirit of God. That God will do things that will cause men and women to wonder and be amazed and acknowledge this is nothing else but the work of God. There were the signs. Then there were the saved. We're told that the great work of saving the lost continued in the church in Jerusalem. We've just read there, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. The original puts it another way. And believers kept being added to the Lord. And so this wasn't a once off. This all didn't happen just in one day. As 3,000 souls were saved on the day of Pentecost. But souls were being saved all the time. It went on and it went on and it went on day after day. Kept on being added to the Lord. Believers kept being added to the Lord. And you look at this matter of salvation and the saved that were brought in to Christ. You'll notice then that it was a growing work. Is that what it says? And believers were the more added. It was a growing work. Multitudes, both men and women. And what had taken place on the day of Pentecost and the days following was no work of man. This was the work of God. This was no passing cloud, as it were. This was not like the dew that lay in the grass in the morning and when the sun rises up, it's gone. No. The dew continued to lie in the mown grass. Souls continued to be saved. They kept on being saved day after day. My, wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love to see that? Wouldn't you love to see the Lord work in such a way in His church that there's the growth and the expansion and the going on and the lengthening of our cords and the strengthening of our stakes. And we'll be able to say, so the place is too straight for us. God can do it, believer. God can do it. It was the growth. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 7. Paul says, neither is he that planteth anything that removes man. Neither he that watereth that removes man again. But God giveth the increase. And God was giving the increase here in the church in Jerusalem. Notice, it was not only a growing work, but it was a genuine work. Look at the words. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Believers were the more added to the Lord. They weren't just added to a church assembly. This doesn't refer to them, as it were, taking out church membership. That is needful. No, this was a people being added to the Lord. In other words, this was a people being added to the body of Christ. They had become part of the body of Christ. They hadn't joined a club, hadn't signed up to any party. They had been joined to Christ. They'd become part of His body. That tells me it was a genuine work. And when the Spirit of the Lord moves, when the Spirit of God works, that's when you see a genuine work done. True conversions. True believers being added to the body of Christ. Their ministry, the ministry of the apostles, was bearing fruit. Souls were being saved. Souls were being added to the church. There was not much chaff here. It was all genuine wheat. That's what happens when God the Holy Spirit works. Oh, believer, let us get a vision for this. Let us get a vision for this. Say, Lord, do the same here. Do the same again. Come and answer our prayers. Come and use our hands. Come and use my voice. Come and use my feet. For beautiful are the feet. And spread the gospel. And then you have also the sick mentioned. It is almost as if we are reading about the ministry of the Lord Jesus when you read here about what took place at the hands of the apostles. For we read in verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. That's an important part of the verse. They were healed every one. That's the way it was during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. Multitudes were brought to the Savior, and we read He healed every one of them. And what do we find? We find the apostles doing the same thing. The power that the Lord Jesus put forth in healing the sick and delivering those who were possessed of evil spirits, same power. Because remember, the Lord said in His first sermon in Luke 4, in the synagogue there in Nazareth, reading Isaiah 61, it refers to Him being anointed with the Spirit. Now is the Spirit of the Lord upon me. The Lord Jesus says, this day is this word fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of God was upon Christ, and the Spirit of God was upon the apostles, and they wrought these signs and these wonders, and people, sick folks were healed, and those who were vexed with unclean spirits were healed also. The Lord Jesus, of course, had prophesied this. And this was merely a fulfillment of the Lord's own word. In John 14 and verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In other words, the apostles were just carrying on the work of the Lord. Carrying on the work of the Lord Jesus. So the Lord would have us to do. Carry on His work. Spread the gospel. Through the gospel, endeavor to heal those who are sick of soul. Endeavor to reach the lost that they might be added to the body of Christ. But we noted there the words, they were healed, every one. In other words, nobody was sent away disappointed. Not one of that number of the multitudes that came to Peter and the other apostles that needed to be healed went away disappointed. Not one soul. There's never been a soul who has come to Jesus Christ in need of salvation, in need of healing, has gone away disappointed. For the Lord Jesus healed everyone who came to Him during His earthly ministry. Everyone. The apostles were not like the charlatans we have today. I feel sorry. So sorry for those who have physical ailments and they go to these healing meetings believing they're going to be healed. Believing that what has plagued them and tormented them and their body for years, they're going to find relief and release. And they come away disappointed. These individuals that have their healing rallies and their healing meetings, they have their assistants who are there to vet the people coming up on stage. And there are those, and there are their testimony of those who have gone to these meetings, some maybe with cerebral palsy, some are brought up on stage or would like to get up on stage in their wheelchairs, but those people are always turned away. It's all a show. And those people go away shattered, disheartened, disappointed. Because the man on the stage is not what he professed to be. What do we read here? That the multitudes came. and it'll be healed. And those who were vexed of evil spirits needed to be delivered. And they were all delivered. Every one of them. Every one of them. Didn't have the apostles standing there vetting the people who were coming up to say up to Peter for healing. No, the apostles weren't vetting the people and say, oh, you're too bad. Your case cannot be healed. No, they were all healed. Every one of them. Further confirmation that what the apostles were preaching was the truth. Further confirmation that Christ indeed was the Messiah. Christ indeed had risen from the dead. And then we have those whom we might refer to as the sensitive ones. Look at the words there in verse 13. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. Of the rest. What is Luke speaking about? Who is he speaking about here? Of the rest. Who would not join themselves to the congregation of the church there at Jerusalem. Well, those that we read about there in verse 13 are those who had just witnessed Ananias and Sapphira being judged by God. They had seen what had taken place to Ananias and Sapphira. They knew all about Ananias and Sapphira, and they knew how they had played the part of the hypocrite, selling their property and saying that they had sold it to give the money to the Lord, and then they didn't do that. They kept back part of the price for themselves. They played the hypocrite that sought to deceive, and they had seen what had taken place to them. And so it put the fear of God into those mentioned in verse 13. Because look at what it says in verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them. In other words, have a people here. The fear of God came upon them. And they were slow and they were cautious about joining themselves to this church in Jerusalem. Until they made sure they were right with God. They didn't want the same thing happened to them that had happened to Ananias and Sapphira. That's why they didn't come and join themselves to that church and to that assembly of believers. They wanted to make sure that they weren't false professors. That their profession wasn't an empty profession. That they weren't trying to deceive the apostles and deceive the church. So they were cautious. I think that's good. Because Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't take the religion, their Christianity seriously. They went out deliberately to deceive the apostles. And out deliberately in attempt to deceive the Holy Ghost. They did it deliberately. They entered into a pact, an agreement, a covenant. This is what they were going to do. So they didn't take their profession of faith seriously. They were really playing at church. They were playing at being a Christian. And they suffered the consequences. We need to take our religion, we need to take our Christianity seriously. And then finally you have their steadfastness. For we cannot leave this portion of Scripture without noting what is found again in verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Listen. And they were all with one accord. Through Ananias and Sapphira, Satan had attempted to divide the church. Satan had attempted to upset the unity of the church, because this is something we have emphasized in our study thus far in the Acts. That time and time and time again we read they were all with one accord. They were all with one accord. They had all things common. They helped one another. They cared for those less fortunate than themselves. They were all with one accord. And you can be sure, believer, that where there is a church, where there is unity amongst God's people, the devil will attack that church. And here was a strong church. Here was a church that was enjoying the blessing of revival. It was a church the devil attacked. But what do we find? They were all with one accord. They remained steadfastly joined together. They remained steadfastly united. That's what must be done. There must be the closing of the ranks whenever the devil comes and seeks to divide a church and divide believers and set brother against brother and sister against sister. Needs to be a closing of the ranks. And they were all with one accord. And believers were more at it. See that? They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and believers were at it, were more at it to the Lord. Multitudes, both men and women. The Lord blessed that united church with the salvation of souls. We know that's true from the words of Psalm 133. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the last verse says, that's where the Lord commands the blessing. And the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, and verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The apostles and the believers and those in the church at Jerusalem endeavored keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And my, how the Lord blessed them. In spite of the opposition of the devil, the Lord's work went marching on. Praise the Lord. Greater is He that is with us than all who are against us. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our most loving and eternal God, we do rejoice in Thy word, the encouragement we receive from it. And O Lord, how Thou didst speak to our own hearts. How Thou didst speak to my heart. Lord, as I looked upon those words, that by the hands of the apostles, signs and wonders were wrought. And believers were the more added to the Lord. O God, do it again. Lord, do it here. Use our hands. Take our hands, Lord, and let them move. Move in thy work. Move, O God, to reach out to the lost. Father, answer prayer.